Welcome to the Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show, built by Par Lumber. When it comes to big or small projects around the home, Tony and Corey have got the know-how and the answers to make your life just a bit easier. Here they are, your Weekend Warriors, Tony and Corey.
Hey, welcome to the Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show, built by Par Lumber. I'm Corey Valdez.
And I'm Tony Cookston, and we're here to tell you today, somebody just got burgled.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We've got another amazing show lined up for you. Today, we're talking about home security. It's one of those topics where, like Tony said, you're getting burgled. People are getting burgled.
It's happening out there more often than we want to realize. Actually, after all of our research, it's important to note that burglaries have actually declined over the last 20 years, which is really a good positive thing, but they haven't declined to zero. And so we still need to be on the alert, and we need to be making sure that we're doing everything that we can to keep our homes from being a target.
Absolutely. You know, one home is burglarized every 15 seconds.
Man.
That's crazy.
That is so often. That's a lot.
Yep. Break-ins happen approximately every 26 seconds.
Yeah. So I wonder, the statistics, obviously, we didn't go out and get this information. We used somebody else's statistics. Somebody else's...
From the FBI. There's a lot of statistics.
From the FBI. I wonder what the difference is between a break-in and a burglary.
Well, you know, I guess we'd have to look up the definition of burglary.
Maybe burglary means they got away with something valuable, and break-in just means they cost you money by damaging your property.
Well, that's the thing, is if you have been burglarized, a majority of burglars enter through the front door. 95% of all burglaries involve a forceful entry. And if they're forcefully entering through your entry door, you're going to pay a lot of money to get that fixed.
Yeah, or your back door, or your patio door, or, you know, any of those things. If they're damaging your property just to gain entry, that's something you're going to have to pay for. It's actually notable that if you have homeowners insurance and you claim a theft, which would cover the cost of repairing property and also the missing things, whatever you lost, your insurance premiums are going up probably by 20%.
Crazy. So it's going to cost you more. Somebody comes in and steals your $1,500 TV. It's not even worth claiming it because you're going to pay more just to replace it.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, that's certainly something that you'd have to look at. So ultimately, in the end, the one thing you can do that costs you the least amount of money to avoid all of this is to remove the target from your home.
Absolutely. Burglaries are all crimes of opportunity. That's exactly what they are. It says the facts state that most burglaries happen between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. While you're at work. You know, I don't know about during, you know, pandemic times, a lot of people working from home. I'm sure burglaries have gone down quite a bit during these times, since so many people are working from home.
Yeah.
But I mean, in reality, you know, we have this idea that burglaries and burglars are, you know, dressed in a black hoodie, you know, creeping around your house at nighttime, when that's really not the case.
Right. Yeah. Most of them are happening during the day when you're not at home. And here's the thing. Only 12% of burglaries are pre-planned. That means 88% are crimes of opportunity.
They walk by, they see your car, they check it to see if it's unlocked.
Yeah, you just said something right there. You said they walk by. Somebody that's walking by your home is not coming from cities away or from miles away. They're coming from blocks away. So crimes of opportunity are crimes that take place by people who see your place regularly, which means they know. I go for a walk every day at 2. I pass this house every day at 2:30. And every day at 2:30, there's not a car in the driveway. There's not lights on, or there's not anybody home. You know, that's the likelihood is that the person that burgles your home is someone who's not very far away.
Right. And they don't want to get caught.
Right.
So they're looking for opportunities to rob from you. And it's funny because you hear about, like, I'm on the Nextdoor app. You heard of the Nextdoor app?
No, no.
It's an app that's on, you know, you can get on any phone. It's called Nextdoor. And you connect with people in your neighborhood. And on that app, you know, people are always complaining, always talking about robberies, porch pirate people.
Oh, right. Yeah, they're stealing.
You know, especially during the holidays.
Stealing packages that were delivered before you get to them.
Exactly. So, the you know, Amazon or whoever drops a package on your front porch and you get home from work 4 hours later, if somebody knows that you're gone in the middle of the day, when Amazon shows up, they're going to be following that Amazon truck around going, yeah, that guy's not home.
Yeah.
Or that gal's not home. And that's when they happen. And people get them on cameras. You know, that's one of the things about, one of the things on our list that we're going to talk about today is some tips on how to prevent some of these things. And the biggest one is exterior cameras.
Oh, yeah, that's big. That's a big one.
So when you have a burglar that walks up to your house or walks by and sees a camera, they're less apt to go after your house because they don't want to get caught. So that's kind of a crazy, crazy thing.
Yeah, I saw another statistic. 83% of burglars have checked to see whether or not there's an alarm on the house that they are considering.
That's according to the FBI.
According to the FBI.
I wonder how they got that statistic. You know what I mean? Like for every 100 burglars, did they just give them they give all of these people a questionnaire.
Yeah, maybe they said, I'll tell you what, we'll give you a free meal after they arrest them for burglary and they're throwing them in jail, a free meal of your choice if you'll answer this 20-question survey that we got for you. I don't know, but they did ask questions of burglars that were apprehended, and that's how they determined that a large percentage of burglars knew the people who owned the home that they burgled.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, another fact from that website, the FBI website, is that police only solve about 13% of burglaries.
Yeah, that is an extremely low number.
Yeah, I have a ring, you know, a ring.
Like a doorbell? Like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's like a doorbell. It's got a camera on it,
mm-hmm.
and it records whoever comes up to my porch. I get a motion, you know, it senses that, and it records, and it saves that to a file in the cloud. So anytime anybody walks up to my house, boom, I get a notification on my phone. I can look at it and say, who is this?
How difficult was something like that for you to install? Did you install it yourself?
Yeah, it took me about 10 minutes.
Did you actually put it in a place where you had a doorbell? Did it replace a doorbell?
It did. And you don't, it doesn't require power. It has its own little battery pack that gets screwed into it.
Oh, okay.
That you have to charge. You know, a lot of people will have two batteries. So but the batteries last for months.
Oh, really?
A long time. Yeah. I think I've had it for 2 years now and I've probably charged it three times, maybe four times. And it charges, you know, I'll charge it for 4 or 5 hours and it's fully charged. But I mean, that is one of the best investments I've ever made. And I on that app too, on the Ring app, it'll pop up things and say, does anybody know this person? And they'll have the video of the person.
Interesting.
You know, and sometimes it's clear as day.
Neighborhood's most wanted.
Oh yeah. You see the person walk right up. They're kind of like looking around and I mean, don't you see the camera right in front of your face?
Man.
I guess they don't.
So you're telling me you installed it yourself. It was pretty easy. Was it expensive?
Yeah. You know, I don't think they're terribly expensive. I mean, under $150.
Oh, yeah. Well, so it's not thousands of dollars.
No. Yeah, the Ring app is, the Ring is cheap, but you do have to pay. There's a yearly subscription fee. That's not outrageous, you know, but you pay this yearly subscription fee to be able to use their cloud service. You don't have to, but you don't get a lot of the features and benefits of the program. But, you know, it's one of the cheapest security systems I own, honestly.
Yeah, well, that seems like money well spent, especially if it's going to deter a would-be burglar from breaking into your, well, at least front door. I mean, you wouldn't have a sensor At least with that system, you wouldn't have a sensor on every entry point, probably.
Right, right. Well, you know, and here's the thing, too. It's like I have it on my front door, and I get a notification when anytime anybody walks up to my front porch. Well, the nice part about that is not everybody rings the doorbell. So if you have UPS or Amazon or FedEx or something, a lot of times they'll just drop the package and run.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know it's out there. And I don't know if you know this, but 3 in 10 burglaries happen with the person living there is home.
Oh, no.
So they don't necessarily, a burglar doesn't necessarily care if you're home or not sometimes. And a porch pirate walking by looking for an opportunity and it looks quiet in your house, they'll walk up and steal it right out from under you.
This is,
but with the Ring app, it notifies me whenever there's motion. So if I see it, bam, I can run out and grab my package.
Here's another interesting statistic that goes along with that one. You just said 3 in 10, right? How about this? 17% of people don't lock their front door while they're home.
Yeah, that's crazy.
17% of people don't lock their front door while they're home.
I don't know what I feel about that. We definitely lock our entry door. We don't lock our back doors while we're home. We have a dog, so we let the dog out a lot during the day.
Ferocious.
Ferocious little Bichon. But
noisemaker, though.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah. That dog's letting somebody know if there's somebody unwanted around, right?
Absolutely.
That's an alarm system right there. You know, there was actually a statistic. We didn't write it down. There was a statistic that said a certain percentage of people actually chose the dog, the pet that they have specifically for home security. For home security. Yeah.
That's, yeah, I mean, it's a real thing. I mean, and that's kind of, that's one of the best advantages of a dog, in my opinion.
Oh, no. The very best advantage is cuddle time.
Yeah, true, true, true.
Cuddle time. The biggest disadvantage is hair. Shed hair. That's the biggest disadvantage. But the biggest advantage is...
You think hair comes over cleaning up poop?
The biggest advantage is cuddle time. For sure.
All right. Well, then number two...
Okay.
...is home security.
All right. I'll buy that. Number two is good for me.
Unless you're like my dog and you run up and lick him to death.
So the average loss of a burglary is about $2,400 on average. How much stuff does somebody have to take? How long do they have to spend to get an average of $2,400 from your home in the middle of the day while you're not home, and they come through an unlocked window or door or something?
Well, they say that a burglary is on average less than 10 minutes. So it kind of almost is a smash and grab. They kick in the front door. They come in. They look around the room. And you got to think, Tony, people that have like a PlayStation 5 or an Xbox, a new Xbox, those things are $500. So if they walk into your living room and they see an Xbox there or a PlayStation 5, into a bag it goes. Oh, you got a stack of games. There's another $500. Into the bag it goes. And they're just running from room to room. And as a matter of fact, burglars, the first place they usually run is the master bedroom.
Oh.
Statistically, that's where they run. And they look for valuables. Your drawers and your top drawer, your, you know, wherever you might have. They don't care. If you've ever seen an actual burglary, I mean, they tear everything apart. They don't care. They're just looking for valuables fast. And then they get out.
I feel like the amount of money that I have to spend on underwear these days, there's just too much money in my top drawer already. I don't need somebody stealing my unders. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Do you have to buy an extra, extra, extra large?
Underwear's expensive these days.
After Christmas, you probably did, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I don't want anybody rifling through my drawers. You know what I mean?
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. It's violating.
So it's very interesting because we talked about entering the front door. We didn't talk a lot about coming through the back door or the side door or through a basement door or a basement access or a crawl space access. Really, any compromisable opening or entry to your house, they're all very important that they stay locked, when at least, at the very least, when you're not at home. But one of the entry points, which is really interesting, Corey and I watched a video on this. We watched a video on gaining entry through the garage door.
Yes.
If you don't have a garage door opener, maybe even if you do have a garage door opener, it can be
fast
for a burglar to gain
6 seconds
entry into your garage door, which seems unlikely.
There is a person or a company that sells a device that attaches to your garage door track opener that doesn't allow somebody to get in and fish. That's what they call it, fishing the line inside of your garage. So what they do is they drive a wedge up in the front of the garage. They take like a piece of wire with a hook on it, like a coat hanger or something. They reach in and pull that red cord. You know that red cord that hangs down?
Oh, that releases your garage door opener
right.
from your door.
What that's an emergency system that's on there so that if you lose power, you pull that red cord and you can lift your garage door open. It takes all the pressure off. Well, this person showed how you can just drive a wedge up there, a little piece of wood wedge, and then hook that line, pull it out, pull the cord, and lift the garage door open in 6 seconds.
Wow.
And he walks in, closes the door behind him, and he's got free reign of the house.
Wow. Yeah, so. That's scary. So I tell you what, I'm already trying to think about. You told me, actually, it's so interesting. You told me that your dad, when you were a kid, your dad actually took precautions to make sure that his garage door could not be opened from the outside unless it couldn't be opened from the outside.
Well, yeah. I mean, it couldn't be opened from the outside or the inside unless you had time to do so. But yeah, one of the things that he would do when we would go on vacation is on either side of the garage door, the rolling track that the garage door wheels set in, there's holes in there. You know, it's kind of like there's all kinds of holes in that track. So what he would do is just take a padlock, a big heavy duty padlock, and sometimes even chain, and wrap that through there and chain it. And it was, I mean, you couldn't open it.
Yeah, the wheel just won't go past it.
Right. I mean, you could. I mean, anything is possible, right? If a burglar is determined enough to get in, they will.
Well, because glass breaks and
right.
doors bust open.
Right.
But there are things that you can do to reinforce, and adding a lock to the track of your garage door is one really good way to reinforce the security of your garage door.
Absolutely. And that was the thing, is if somebody tried that trick where they wedge the front and pull the string, it wouldn't open. It just physically would not open. You couldn't do it.
Well, there's a lot of things that we can cover. Things that actually make your home more secure and protect your home in the event of a burglary. But there's also things you can do just to make your home less of a target. You said that you added a ring to your front door, which if someone sees that, it's going to tell them, oh, hey, I'm on camera. I better not stick around here. What are some of the other things we can do to make our home less of a target? Obviously, if you go and buy a security system and install a security system, whatever that cost, you know, that comes with signs and stickers, and you can plaster those all around the outside of your home, and it's going to be very obvious that you have an alarm system. Can you fool a burglar into believing you have an alarm system when you don't actually?
Well, they actually say by putting up a sign, a home security sign in your front yard or whatever, you're actually reducing your chance of getting burglarized by 300% just by putting the sign up or putting a sticker up. Because again, if you're a burglar and you're looking at it for a crime of opportunity, and you don't want to get caught, are you going to try to break into the house that appears to have an alarm?
Probably.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, alarm companies probably don't want us saying that. And, you know, you'd have to use your best judgment, obviously, if you think, you need an alarm system. And I mean, an alarm systems and companies do more than just, you know, monitor your house for burglaries.
Sure.
You know, there's fire and health and all kinds of things like that, that if you feel you need an alarm system, that's up to you. But yeah, having an alarm system reduces just the appearance of having an alarm system reduces your chance of getting burglarized by 300%.
Man, that is awesome. What if it's not a sign that says, you know, some alarm company or this house protected by? What about a sign that says, forget the dog, beware of owner. I was on a guy's
property.
I was on a guy's property recently. He had a long driveway. And as I'm driving the driveway towards the house, and I was welcomed, by the way, I was invited. As I'm driving the driveway towards the house, I passed like 6 or 7 signs on fence posts as you're going up. And every one of them was like, this homeowner owns a gun. This homeowner, ex-convict. Forget the dog. Beware of the owner. I mean, it was intimidating, and like I said, I was invited. So I have to think that even signs like that, if you're taking the time to put up a sign that says, you've chosen the wrong place, if you're thinking you're leaving with some of my stuff, you got another thing coming.
Growing up, my neighbor had one of those signs that said, protected by 357 Magnum. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And he had German Shepherds, too, and he always had those signs, protected by German Shepherds.
Yeah, I don't just have a gun and a dog. I have a dog that knows how to use a gun. I saw that one somewhere too, which I thought was funny. But I feel like taking the proper precautions to make sure that your home, at the very least, appears to be protected. Here's another thing. Obviously, timers for lights so that lights come on and go off. If you're not home and you want your house to appear at least to be inhabited, or that it's not the same situation every day at the same time, you can have lights come on and go off. You can have lots of things that on the outside of your house that make it appear that you're at least coming and going, if not at home at the moment.
Yeah, home automation. We've talked about home automation on the show several times over the years. I've really been getting into it lately. I've talked about that as well. I've installed smart lights in my house. Lutron, Casita. I've installed like home automation things so that when the lights will turn on at certain times, and when I'm on vacation, I can set like my living room light to turn on at certain times, so it always looks like someone's home. It's a very cool thing.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. It's worth the time and the little bit of money that you might spend to at least give your home the appearance of protection if you can't be there. And of course, it never hurts to have a pet if you don't have a pet. Pets really like to make noise when you're not home and they're home alone and people are around that they're not expecting. They are noisemakers, and that can be helpful. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, more Weekend Warriors and home security. Don't go away.
Listening to the Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show, built by Par Lumber. Now, here's Tony and Corey.
Hey, welcome back to the Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show. Thanks for staying with us. Today we're talking about home security tips, ways that you can protect your house, your investments from burglars, and being a burgled.
Yeah, here's a big one. Buy a safe and put your stuff that's expensive in it and bolt it to the ground or to the floor. And you know what I'm saying? I mean, first of all, a safe, if you get a big safe, like your safe.
My safe is not that big.
The thing weighs like 400 pounds.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
No, my safe is little. My safe probably weighs, if I had to guess, 200 pounds.
I don't know. It looks big to me. Looks really heavy. Of course, you would know. You moved it.
I bolted it to the floor.
You bolted it to the concrete slab in the garage?
Yeah, in the garage. I bolted it to the floor.
I just said where your safe is.
Well, you can't miss it.
If you come in through the garage, it'll be right there.
Yeah. Well, it's bolted to the floor.
It's so also locked.
You're not taking it.
I mean, what are the chances that the guy burglaring your home is going to know how to crack a safe? I don't know how to crack a safe.
It would be pretty slim. I mean, and honestly, if they really, really wanted to, I'm sure they could steal my safe.
And this is what I'm thinking. If the guy that's breaking into your home, right, is going to settle for the amount of money that's inside of your safe, then he's not smart enough to crack that safe.
No.
The guy that's smart enough to crack that safe is looking for a lot more than you got in there. And the same with me.
My sterling silver Disney coins are his.
Yeah. $17.26. Yeah, that's funny. But anyways, it's true enough. A safe that is, that's not just a fireproof box. I've got a fireproof box in my house. It weighs about 5 pounds. And it's got important documents and birth certificate, passports, you know, that kind of stuff in there. And because I don't want it to burn up. But if somebody wanted out with it, we'd just grab it and carry it right out. I didn't bolt it to the floor.
Well, in this day and age of identity theft and people getting your information, and I mean, they're going to steal a lot more than your physical paper money, you know, or your possessions. If they steal your identity, you are in for it. You are hosed.
It's the most valuable thing I own.
Absolutely. Because they will open up tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands in debt in your name, and you will be fighting that for the rest of your life. It's terrible. I've never personally had to deal with it, but I know people who have, and having your identity stolen physically is the easiest way to do it. By stealing your Social Security card, by stealing your birth certificate. And if you have those in your house in an easily accessible little cute little box,
fireproof box,
that somebody says, wow, yeah. I mean, that's probably the most valuable thing in your house.
Yeah. Well, I agree with that.
You should put it in a big safe bolted to your floor.
Yeah, I should. That's exactly right. I should put it in a big safe bolted to my floor. I need to do that.
I'll help you do that.
That's one really good tip. Get a safe, bolt it to the floor, put your important stuff in there. Here's another great tip. I'm going to state the obvious here, but this is it. Lock the doors to your car.
Oh, man.
I mean, look, I live in a fairly rural area, and we don't have a lot of problem that is made public anyway, or that people are talking about, or that I hear about in the area where I live. But that doesn't, I don't think that makes me less susceptible.
Oh, absolutely not.
I mean, you have to lock your vehicle. If you're not doing yourself any favors, you're just asking for it. And locking your car is just one of those things. I've had my car broken into, ransacked, a bunch of stuff inside there stolen. I wouldn't say it was a large amount of money, but when you come out of your house in the morning to go to work and you open the door of your car and someone has been through every inch of it and left it just, you know, tossed all over the place, that is the grossest feeling that somebody can have.
Absolutely.
It is terrible.
You're right.
Violated. I mean, like, straight up violated.
One of my good friends called me last week, and it happened in his driveway. And I said, oh, man, did they smash a window? And he said, no, I didn't lock the door.
Oh, no, really?
Yep. And that's exactly why, because some hoodlums were walking by his car and decided to check and see if it was unlocked. And sure enough, it was. So they got in, opened all of his stuff up, and stole everything.
Helped themselves to whatever they wanted.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a bad deal. You know, here's another thing. Just because you park your car inside your garage doesn't mean that it's not susceptible. Still, I feel like your car should be locked, whether it's in the driveway or in the garage.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't have to lock your car if it's in the house. If it's parked in the family room and you're on the sofa, it's probably safe there. But if it's not in there, you need to lock it.
Well, so here's one of those things. Here's another tip is if you have a garage door opener and you park your car outside in the driveway or on the street with your garage door opener visible, you're asking for it. Somebody's going to look in your car, and especially if you leave your car door unlocked.
Yeah.
Your garage door opener is right there. So don't make it visible. Put it in your glove box or hide it somewhere where they cannot see it from the street.
Speaking of not being able to see, it's a good idea if you're not going to be home to have your blinds or your drapes closed so that people aren't standing outside looking into your house, you know, making a plan as they look in there. Okay, there's the TV. I can see it from here. It's a nice expensive one. It's an LG or whatever, right? Here's the deal. I can promise you this. If you don't close your blinds or your drapes and somebody breaks in, I guarantee you they will close them for you. While they're in there stealing you blind, They will close your drapes and your...
You're probably right.
And your blinds or whatever.
They don't want your neighbors seeing them.
Right, exactly. You know? So if you don't do it, they'll do it for you. But it'll cost you, probably.
I want to really quickly go back to the garage door opener. It is a smart thing to do is to buy yourself a smart garage door opener.
What is a smart garage door opener?
A smart garage door opener is an opener that you can operate through your smartphone or your smart speaker inside of your house and will notify you if your garage door is open or closed or if somebody's trying to access it, or you can disable it altogether. If you're on vacation and somebody comes over and tries to use the code that, say you gave the plumber your garage code 2 years ago and you forgot, and you posted on social media that you're on vacation and they see that and they say, well, hey, free pickings. I got the garage door opener and everything.
Yeah.
You can set it and disable the garage door from your phone. It's just a really cool thing to have.
Yeah, that's a good idea. You know, and here's the thing. A lot of those garage door codes are like 4 digits maybe, mm-hmm. or, you know, something. You think somebody can't eventually get a 4-digit code, especially if it's 1111 or 00 or 1234. You know, it's they're not super duper secure.
Yeah. Well,
except for the fact that they have to be standing in your driveway at your garage door, pressing in numbers for a half an hour.
I think it's more than that.
Yeah.
The different combinations of 4-digit numbers.
I mean, it's not really that much, especially if it's, why I said, especially if it's a common 4 numbers.
I think it's in the trillions.
Well, that's why I'm saying if it's a common 4 numbers, 1234, right? 7890-5555-2222, you know, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, sorry. 10,000. 10,000 possible combinations.
There are people out there that can key 120 words a minute. That's not going to take very long.
They'd kill the battery, I think, before they got to 10,000.
Oh, they might. But they might. It's not going to take them 10,000 tries to get. It's not going to be the last number they try. 9127.
I'll bet you the chances of figuring out somebody's garage code, 4-digit garage code, is close to zero.
I did it in about 15 minutes at somebody's house one time.
Well, if you know them.
I'm just saying I didn't know the code, but I just entered it and I got it.
1111.
That's what I'm saying. You gotta be creative. Okay, so here's something else that you can do to sort of protect your home from crimes of opportunity. Here's one. If you don't want somebody climbing through the second story window of your house that you leave open because it's the second story and people can't get in, then make sure you store the ladder on the outside of the house that would allow them to just lean it up, climb up to the second floor, and crawl in.
That's true.
I mean, it's just one example. If you don't want somebody to break through the glass on the back of your house, then put that sledgehammer away that's leaning up against the house back there, or the shovel, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, securing your ladder, securing your tools inside of a locked shed door or something. Or if you have a 16-foot extension ladder that you hang on the fence. I know so many people that do that. They keep an extension ladder with a couple of hooks on their fence, and they hang it there. Makes it nice and easy, nicely stored. But maybe you should throw a padlock on it or something.
Yeah, because here's another thing. A ladder, a 16-foot extension ladder, is not cheap. I mean, that's going to cost you $250 if they just take that.
Absolutely.
Right? Here's another thing, Corey. We've talked about the entry door being one of the points that's very commonly breached, right? Can you just kick in a front door? I mean, can you just like Chuck Norris a front door and be like, I'm in?
It depends on the door, but absolutely yes.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
What can somebody do to keep their front door from being, you know, knocked in?
Well, you got to consider that every door that is installed, its weakest link is how it's installed, right? If you installed a door with, 12-penny finish nails and some caulking, that door is going to kick right in, no problem.
Frame and all.
If you have an older door that doesn't have good security features, like a deadbolt, or if you have a hollow core door. You told me that one time.
Absolutely.
You've seen an exterior door with a hollow core door.
Yep.
Or an interior type door not intended for that purpose.
Right.
They're not strong enough. The strikes aren't security strikes. But if you do one thing, install a deadbolt. Two, install longer screws through your strike plate and your hinges.
The strike plate is where the door closes into, the latch of the door handle.
Right.
And, of course, the latch of the deadbolt.
That little metal plate.
Yep, those attach through the strike plate.
That's called the strike plate.
On the handle side of your door.
And if you take 3 or 4 inch screws and drive those in, take those two screws out and drive in using longer screws that gets you into the framing.
Right.
You got to make sure that you get into the wood framing around the door. And if you do that, that door will be extremely hard to kick in.
Yeah. The screws that hold the strike plate to the door frame are about maybe 3/4 of an inch long.
Oh, absolutely.
Just like the screws that hold the hinges to the door frame on the hinge side of the door. So your door is securely attached to the frame, but the frame has to be securely attached to the opening, to the framing of your opening. And so often when they're installed, they're just not. So like you said, long 3-inch or 4-inch screws through the strike plates on the latch side, and at least one long 3 or 4-inch screw through each of the hinges on your door into the other side.
Yeah, and so here's a tip if you have a situation where you can't just back out a screw and put in a new screw. You know, if say you've got to put a 4-inch. Well, sometimes the diameter of that 4-inch screw, the head is too big.
Sure.
So what you can do is take the whole hinge off, drive the screw behind the hinge, and then put your plate back on. So that way, at least you have a long screw in the jam. It is a lot better to put it through the hinge itself, but having one there behind the hinge would definitely help.
Here's another really good idea. I feel like I don't see them as often as I used to, but a peephole in your door. Obviously, if you have glass in your door and you can see out the glass, it's unnecessary. But if you have a solid door, solid wood or solid fiberglass or solid steel door, a peephole will allow you to look out without looking out of a window and them being able to see that you're looking. So a peephole seems like a simple thing, but it can be very helpful in these types of situations.
Yeah, in a home invasion situation, yeah, you definitely want to look out, see who's out there. And if you don't know them, I mean, don't feel like you got to answer the door.
Yeah.
Just yell through the door, go away.
Maybe you
don't want any.
Yeah, maybe you determine that the door that you have that doesn't have long screws or doesn't have a peephole or doesn't have some of these things, maybe it's just time to replace your entire entry door with something very secure, modern, with all of these extras.
Absolutely. A Therma-True fiberglass entry door is one of the safest, most secure doors that you can buy. And especially if you get it with a multi-point lock.
Oh, yeah.
Will you explain what a we have one on our studio here.
Yeah, we do.
We've got a video on our YouTube channel. If you haven't gotten a chance, you can go check out our YouTube channel. Where if you just search Par Lumber on the Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show, you can search that as well. But we've got a really cool video on the multi-point lock system and how it works. But it is unbelievably secure.
Yeah, it's if you have a regular entry door that has a deadbolt on it and you close and lock that door, then you have two locking points, the deadbolt and the handle set, and they both lock. On a multi-point locking system, you actually have 4 points. There's one at the top, one at the bottom, and then, of course, the two in the middle. And it is a very secure locking system for that door. It's worth every penny you pay for it, I guarantee.
Yeah, it's along the entire length of the door from top to bottom. And then there's a metal channel on the other side, on the door. And then there's these like latch holes inside of the jamb on the other side. And when you lift up on the door handle, the opposite direction, it latches those in there and catches. And boy, oh boy, if you can watch some videos online where people have literally tried to
drive a vehicle through it,
beat those doors in, and it's almost impossible.
Yeah. That's a way to get a good, solid, secure door.
Yeah, upgrade your entry door with a multi-point lock. Boom.
Here's another really good idea, and this is what I employ at my house. I have a keyless entry. So I have a handle that doesn't have a lock on it, and I have a deadbolt that's actually just a security code. It's like a 10-digit security code, and when I go home, I enter my 10-digit code, and it unlocks my door. So very cool to not have to mess around with keys, and but you know, you should probably plan on changing your code periodically.
Every so often.
The same with your garage door code. You know, that 4-digit code that's really easy to come up with. Change it periodically, every so often.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. People hand out their garage codes all the time. I know I have over the years. I've handed it out to the plumber, I've handed it out to the electrician or the whoever.
And it's the people that you know that are the ones that take advantage of you.
Absolutely.
We already know that.
Another quick smart one to do to help is to change your locks, your entry door locks, after you buy a home. If you've bought a used house, not a brand new one, but a used house.
Previously owned house.
And it has locks on it that look like they've been on there for 5-10 years. You have no idea who has a copy of that key.
Absolutely.
So it's worth it to, you know, to go out and spend. It's probably going to cost you a few hundred bucks, honestly, to replace your entry door locks and all the locks on the exterior of your home. It's not a cheap endeavor. Or you can also get them rekeyed. That is a possibility.
Yeah.
Probably quite a bit less money if they're in decent shape.
Locksmiths will rekey locks if they're not too old, right? Locksmiths will rekey locks and give you new keys. That's a really good idea. That should be priority one when you move into a previously owned home.
100%. Last one on doors is if you have an outswing door. Now, what we mean by that is if you can grab the handle and pull it towards you when you're outside the house, that's called an outswing door. Most entry doors are in swing. So an outswing's not terribly common. But if you don't have a newer one, you might have standard hinges, which means that you can
remove the pin.
Remove the pins. They make security hinges where they actually have little set screws that screw in and will not allow that pin to be removed. So if you think you got a really nice secure door without security hinges,
they also call them NRP hinges or non-removable pin hinges. Nope. Very common. Sometimes they're just little welds on there. But that's a really good tip. Here's another one, Corey. If you have a door in your home that you don't use very often, right? You can get one of those security bars. It's got like a little U-shape at the top and a rubber foot at the bottom. And you put the U-shape underneath the handle and then just push that bar tight to the floor. I'll tell you what. Getting in that door with that security bar on it. And it's very easy to move. Grab it by the middle, pull the bottom out first, boom, it's moved and you're opening the door. But when it's installed there, very difficult to gain access through that door.
Absolutely. Sliding doors. We've all seen the nightmares where sliding doors are easily accessible. But one of the things is if you just put a door stop in there, and like a piece of closet rod, for instance. You can put a piece of closet rod measured and cut to fit that will only allow that door to open maybe two or three inches.
Yeah. Notable that you want to be able to use that and also use your door or window for ventilation. So if you measure it to the right size, cut it back 3 inches so that you can actually open it and ventilate through the door or window, that's a really good point. I have sticks on all of my windows.
Yeah. That's it's a smart thing to do. Going back to kind of a DIY home security system, you can buy window sensors. Very inexpensive to just to buy basically a noisemaker that when it's closed and it's set and the little switch is turned on, that when it breaks contact, the siren goes off locally on that little window. And again, because a burglar is more often than not just looking for an opportunity, and he sees a cracked window or he sees an opportunity to climb in some window, and there's an alarm going off, they're probably going to turn and run.
Oh, I would say for sure. There's no reason they're going to stick around there and try to get caught.
All right. Inside the house, if you don't own a document shredder, you need to go buy a document shredder. going back to that thing we were talking about earlier with identity theft, you know, people have been known to go through your recycling bin or your garbage and find
bank statements.
Yeah, important documents.
Account numbers.
That can make it easy to steal from you.
Right.
So shredding that information, you know, I have a rule in my house. If it has my name on it or anybody in my family's name on it, it gets shredded.
Smart.
Yeah. I don't throw it in the garbage.
It doesn't cost any more to throw away shredded paper than it does full paper.
Absolutely right.
That's a great plan. I also have a shredder, and I also shred documents as regularly as is necessary. Here's another one. This is important. When it goes, we've talked about insurance earlier and how insurance goes up. Your premiums go up if you have to claim a theft. But if you lose a lot of stuff and you have to claim it on your insurance because of the amount of money, you want to know exactly what you lost. Look, there is a very good possibility or a likelihood even that we own things that are valuable that we aren't thinking of all the time. And when you're going through after a burglary and trying to list the things you lost, the likelihood that you're going to forget some things that are valuable is very good. You know, 2 weeks later, 4 weeks later, 6 months later, when you go looking for that thing that you didn't remember that you lost and you can't find it, and you're like, oh, it's important to have documents proving that you own the things that you own. They'll serve two purposes. One, they'll remind you of the things that you had and have not now, and it will be proof to the insurance company that something you had that is gone.
Take pictures of everything you have. Upload it to a cloud server. You can go get a Google Drive for free even and upload all those pictures. You could probably put 10,000 pictures in that Google Drive for free.
Yeah.
And you will have a visual record if anything's ever gets stolen. You can take a picture of the serial numbers and all that. It's just a really smart move. And here's another thing. With your insurance, most insurance companies and policies that you have on your home is very limited on items inside of your home. It usually only covers replacement for your home.
Mm.
So if you ever have a fire, they'll pay to replace your home, but not necessarily everything inside.
Wow.
So you got to look at your policy. Sometimes you have to have an umbrella or a rider or certain things like that. So I'm not an insurance person, but I do know I have a good friend who is, and he's always telling me that you need to get an umbrella. So we did.
Yeah, that is a great tip. That's all the time we got. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the show today. We'll see you again soon. You're listening to another episode of Your Weekend Warriors right here
on the Weekend Warriors Radio Network.
Have a great week.